when we look back on our path, we're like, everything made sense. Yeah. But in the moment, you're like, nothing makes sense.
Can we just talk through how all that aligned for you? Can you just share that journey?
Yeah. So I worked in television and I was a technical director for 11 years with ABC in Phoenix. And I felt like I had hit my pinnacle with that. I was nominated for 4 Emmys, like 4 consecutive years, didn't win one. And so I was like, I feel like I've kind of hit the top of it. So there's got to be something else I need to do. And I was studying magic in I was still doing like corporate gigs and things like that, but it was never like serious. I never, looking back, I never committed to myself. But I would still do magic gigs here and there. And then the interesting thing is one day I saw a seminar for some hypnotists that were learning mentalism and were doing something in Vegas. I'm like, oh, that's not far away. And hypnotists make a hell of a lot more money and they don't have to carry anything in their pockets. So I was intrigued in a way. And so that kind of started my entertainment career in hypnosis and getting people's hands stuck to the table, doing stuff like that, which was good. But I always had this thing in the back of my mind, like, if you can get someone to quit smoking or change their eating habits, like, what else are they capable of? Like, why stop there? Like, that's so low-hanging fruit. Like, what else can we achieve? Because, you know, you hear about, like, Olympic athletes using hypnosis and all this, you know, you hear like stories of hypnosis, but I'm like, stop smoking is great, but there's got to be more to it. And then a friend of mine contacted me who was in Orange County and said, I mean, we were doing some of the same things with golf and some other hypnosis, like fun stuff. And he's like, if you ever want to just leave television, you can just come join me. And so I thought about it and I'm like, well, I'll put my condo on the market. And if it sells, I'll move. Nothing for like 3 months. No one at an open house, no one at nothing. And so I'm like, okay, it's not meant to be. The next week I got 4 offers and one of them was the asking price. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. And so then I was in escrow and I'm like, oh my God, this is happening. And so within a month, I
left. How old were you at that point?
At that point, let's see, I just turned 40. I was 35. I had just turned 35 at that point. So to change your whole life at 35, to me, it seemed very late in the game.
Takes courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes a lot of nights thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah, and to be 35 and tell your parents, I want to leave a TV career to be a magician. Most people do that like at 18. I'm doing it at 35, and I'm like, oh, God, they wouldn't have said yes back then. And I could tell they kind of just, okay. And there's like a silence on the phone. They're just like, we'll let them do it. So what evolved was I came out to Orange County, was doing hypnotherapy, and then that more evolved into coaching because, you know, again, that limitation, if they could quit smoking cigarettes, why stop there? And then I was fascinated with the human potential and mindsets. So then it was more about, I found myself a mentor, Igor Ledochowski, with the Hypnosis Training Academy. And I traveled around the world to seminars and stuff that he was doing, became a certified trainer for the hypnotherapy program. And even then it was kind of like, everyone's doing the same thing. And 2 things happened with the hypnotherapy clients that I realized that would massively help me out in my own journey. And one of them was that because of the stigma of hypnosis, when people go to a hypnotist, they usually want the hypnotist to do the work. And I thought I was tired of people putting all the emphasis on me. Because you don't go to a trainer and have him do the push-ups. Yeah. You know, you've got to do the work. So I was like, so you, as a hypnotherapist, you get a lot of clients who don't want to put in the effort. Yeah. And so after a while, you just kind of get tired of it. And another thing about it was I was reading about coaching and a guy's book that I read, Rich Litvin, I read The Prosperous Coach, who's now a friend of mine. He had a great thing in his book where he was in LA and he saw a sign store and the sign for the sign store was broken. So he said, what if you could never tell people what you did, but you have to give them an experience? And so I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird to hypnotize someone without telling them. Like, there's like an ethical boundary there. But what if I was a magician and never told them that? Because then you could have fun. And, you know, to make a long story longer, one of the things that hit me was, and it was always it's always in the shower where we get our best insights, like the shower or driving or somewhere where you at least expect it. When people have a magical moment, or they get an insight, it's the same thing. There's that moment, there's like that foot in the door where anything is possible. And like when you see a David Blaine special and he does something, for a second, you don't think of all the limitations. You're like, how is this real? And it dawned on me, what if we were to, and I actually want to invite the listeners and the viewers to this, what if we were to look at our problems the same way we look at a magic trick? With the same curiosity, the same resilience, willing to try any outcome, start just brainstorming ideas in that same positive, solutions-based emotional undertone. What if we were to just look at our problems the same way as a magic trick that we just haven't figured out? Wow. And then that kind of just spurred into this whole area of hypnosis, mindset, coaching, magic, and just not telling people what I do. And that is how like the attention artist thing came about, because it's such a vague term, it gives me room to do anything.